All right, everybody. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Just want to mention very quickly, apologize for the first segment of the show. We had some technical issues. We were unable to connect to Sports Byline. And so I gave up and I said, let's do a replay. And then about 10 minutes later, we actually got connected. But I had since sent Mike Sempervivi to bed because he's tired. I basically sent the video people off. And so if you're listening right now, you're getting a live show, which will be available via podcast at WrestlingObserver.com, but no video here today, no Mike Sempervivi. And so today's show is going to be, yes, the return of phone calls for today and text messages largely about the AEW and NXT war last night. So that's the plan for the show today. I apologize for the first segment. Let's not waste any more time and get going. The news, very quickly. World Wonder Ring Stardom, the Japanese women's pro wrestling company best known as Stardom, has been sold to Kicks Road, a subsidiary of Bushiroad, in a deal announced Thursday afternoon in Japan. This is the big news from Japan we've been talking about for several days now. The story likely to be misinterpreted as either New Japan buying Stardom, a merger between the two groups, or that New Japan will start using women wrestlers on their shows. None of this would be accurate. What is accurate is New Japan and Stardom would both be owned by the same parent company, but they are being run and kept completely separate. Stardom will be under the umbrella of Kicks Road, which is the parent company of Knockout, the Bushiroad kickboxing company. As part of the deal, they will be changing the name. Rossi Ogawa will remain CEO, which will be using the name Stardom, new company. World Wonder Ring Stardom no longer will exist as a company. Bushiroad's role as new owners will be attempting through advertising and television to build the popularity of the brand, similar to how the resurgence of New Japan Pro Wrestling was built through Bushiroad. As part of the deal, a TV show will air on BSN TV and Tokyo MX starting in January, with the BSN TV show being a 30-minute show on Thursdays. Stardom World, exclusive for Stardom events. There will be no Stardom on NJPWWorld.com at this point. There will be no Stardom matches in New Japan at this point. Really, if you're a fan of Stardom, this is great news for you because you're going to get a Stardom television show. The Stardom wrestlers will now be under contract. Bushiroad will be doing what they can to build up Stardom. But if you were expecting Stardom matches on New Japan, Stardom matches on New Japan World, none of that at this point is going to happen. Presumably, it's possible down the road since they are now both owned by the same parent company. So that is the news coming out of Japan. There is no New Japan WWE working agreement, which a lot of people were expecting. There may be more news out of WWE. It is rumored, I honest to God know nothing about this, but the rumors are an announcement of an NXT Japan soon. I don't know if that's true. All I know is everyone's been talking about that, so we shall see. But that is the Stardom news. The shows last night, AEW on TNT, NXT on the USA Network, I very much enjoyed both shows. Similar to last week, there was a lot of good wrestling on both shows. The AEW show was all about trying to create new stars. Tried to create a new star in Darby Allin, who lost to Chris Jericho. Tried to create a star in Scorpio Sky. I know a lot of people are very upset about Marco Stunt being on the show. Seems to be a very mixed reaction to Marco Stunt. But the story of the show last night was that it was supposed to be Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus versus the Lucha Brothers. Luchasaurus appears to have torn his hamstring. We don't have a full diagnosis yet. He's getting checked out today. We'll probably know very soon. But he was taken out of that match. And Marco Stunt and Jungle Boy had 2 hours notice to get ready for the match and do a match with the Lucha Brothers. I thought they did a great job. A lot of people thought they did a great job. Some people thought it was terrible and it ruined the pro wrestling business. Obviously, you're welcome to give your thoughts on what side of the fence you fell on here today on the show. NXT, there apparently is an injury to Velveteen Dream. And so the show was about basically writing him out of storylines for a while. The Velveteen Dream Roderick Strong match is not taking place next week. They did a screw job finish in the Keith Lee Donovan Dijakovic match where Roddy ran in and attacked both guys with a belt. And so basically, next week on the show, they're going to be doing a three-way for the North American title with Lee Dijakovic and Roderick Strong. So welcome to give your thoughts on that as well. Lots of stuff to get into, so we will get into your phone calls here in just a moment. And please, I was not planning on phone calls here today. We're going to go to the text messages first. But if you're going to call into this show, I want you to have a hot take. I want you to make this show better. Don't ask a stupid question. Don't try to tell me that both shows sucked. Be a good caller. That's all I ask. We'll go to calls here in just a moment. At 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. You can send your text messages to 425-780-7566. And Brian@WrestlingObserver.com, email at Brian Alvarez, Twitter. By the way, if you're a fan of Stardom and you want more on the Stardom story, there is a new show on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com that you can grab as a subscriber. It is Jim Valley, Fumi Saito, and Dave Meltzer for over an hour talking about Stardom, WWE, the battle in Japan, and more. So if you're a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com, you can get all of the details by listening to that podcast. It's up right now at WrestlingObserver.com. This person here says, was there any truth to WWE apparently trying to buy NOAH to try and establish WWE NXT Japan? I have been told that WWE attempted to buy NOAH and Stardom, and they were turned down on both. And Stardom ended up being bought by Bushiroad. I presume that Dave and Fumi and Jim Valley talk all about this on the new show that is up at WrestlingObserver.com. But yes, that is what I was told. WWE tried to buy NOAH and Stardom. They were turned down for both. The story I heard is that when they were negotiating with Stardom, and you will be stunned to hear this, I was told that Stardom wanted to know, what are your plans if you buy Stardom? And WWE didn't have any plans. I know that's stunning if you've watched WWE television. And as a result, the deal fell through. That's what I was told. I don't know what's true and not true. If you want to hear more, check out the podcast that is up right now with Jim Valley, Fumi, and Dave Meltzer. This person here says, did people really want Eric Bischoff to show up on AEW just for the sake of sticking it to WWE? Yes, they did. These people are out of their minds, with all due respect. Eric Bischoff, what is the upside? Name one upside to Eric Bischoff showing up on AEW last night. I mean, I've talked about this for months now. This Wednesday night war, this is a Wednesday night war that WWE started, not AEW. AEW and TNT didn't say, hey, let's run on Mondays head-to-head with Raw. AEW did not say, hey, let's run on Fridays head-to-head with SmackDown. AEW wanted to do Tuesday or Wednesday, head-to-head with neither show. Tuesday, obviously, would be after SmackDown jumped to Friday. WWE is the promotion that started this war. WWE is the one that put NXT head-to-head with AEW on Wednesday nights. AEW's goal is not to go out there and try to fight and beat WWE. Now, because WWE started the war, AEW is going to play ball. But that was not their intent. This is not 1995 where Bischoff said, I want to put my show opposite Raw. That was a move by Eric Bischoff to go to war with WWE. This is the opposite of that. So AEW's goal is to not say, hey, what can we do to screw with WWE this week? Hey, what can we do to stick it to WWE this week? That's not their game. So no, there was no intention on AEW's part to bring in Eric Bischoff. I told people months ago that there was no chance of AEW going to, Eric Bischoff going to AEW. I was told by people there that man will never work for us. So what is the upside to taking a guy who was hired by WWE, lasted 4 months, and was fired? What's the upside? So he can come on there and say, this is where the big boys play? That would be so beyond ridiculous in what AEW is trying to accomplish here. AEW doesn't want to be World Championship Wrestling. AEW does not want to be Impact Wrestling, TNA. They want to be AEW. There's zero upside to bringing in Eric Bischoff to try to, quote, stick it to WWE. It would have been a stupid idea. This person says, why are you talking about AEW main events ending the same way 3 weeks in a row? Jericho gets help, and both tag tournament matches have a sub. Well, the tournament had a sub this week because a guy got hurt. That's what happened. That was legitimate. He got hurt. The Christopher Daniels thing is a storyline. They wanted to get over Scorpio Sky. And guess what? Scorpio Sky got over last night. And for those of you upset about Chris Jericho getting interference to win, Chris Jericho doesn't want you to like him. Chris Jericho wants to be a heel that you dislike. Chris Jericho goes out there and people chant, thank you, Jericho. And they cheer for the bubbly. He doesn't want to be cheered. So it is typical old school heel work. He's got a heavy. He doesn't need the heavy to win. He could have clearly beaten Darby Allin with Darby Allin having his hands tied behind his back. But because he's a heel, he had the guy help him anyway. And so that was the finish of that match. It's old school heel work to get you to dislike Chris Jericho. That's the idea. This person here says, for the second week in a row, they did not show recaps of AEW Dark on Dynamite. Yes, I talked about this last night on Observer Radio. I'm super disappointed. There's no point in having these AEW Dark matches on YouTube and not showing clips on the main show. You could show it in 90 seconds. Results of three matches in 90 seconds and you move on. I have no idea why they're not doing it. Back in a moment with more Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We'll take a few calls here in a moment. Just want to mention, since I was asked right before the break, yes, AEW had zero clips of AEW Dark on the TNT show last night. I'm flabbergasted. If you take out autoplays and people that watched part of the show and then watched the rest of the show later, I mean, realistically, probably 25 to 30% of the TNT audience watched AEW Dark, and maybe even less. But I mean, at most, 30%. So 70% of the people watching TNT have absolutely no idea what happened on AEW Dark. And I very much defended the Kenny Omega match yesterday. And I mean, if I know they're not airing it on TNT, I can't defend that match because Kenny Omega's going out there and him and Joey Janela are killing themselves. Joey Janela took a one-winged angel, which if I recall correctly, Chris Jericho said, no move has ever hurt as much as that move hurt, and I will never take that move again. I believe those were his words. He took that move through a chair. So these guys are out here killing each other. And yesterday I defended the match because I was like, it's playing into the storyline of the Moxley match. So how you could not air 30 seconds of that match on AEW Dynamite is like, it's baffling to me. The match may as well not have happened if 70% or more of your audience didn't even see the match. So I realize, I don't even know why. I can't think of one reason why you wouldn't air clips from AEW Dark on the TV show. There's two things. Number one, the matches are really good. I mean, that was one of the better matches in AEW history, maybe the best one up until last night, that Kenny Omega match. And why you would not show clips of that match to your audience, I mean, it's like it happens in a vacuum. That's number one. And number two, what better way to build up viewership for AEW Dark than to show the people on TNT, hey, if you're unaware, we have a show called AEW Dark, and look at this match that happened on Tuesday that you missed. It's a way to build up AEW Dark, and the stuff on AEW Dark should be used on TNT to build up the storylines on TNT. They flat out have said, the stuff that happens on AEW Dark counts. If you win on that show, that counts in your win-loss record, and if you lose, same thing. So if it counts, why is it not re-aired on the TNT show? If you have three matches on AEW Dark, that's three 30-second video packages. You're in and out in 90 seconds. I have no idea why this is not being done. It's mind-boggling to me. This person says, last night on Observer Radio, you two were discussing Marco's stunt. I agree with what you said as far as Marco in the ring and his talent. Nobody can say that he's not talented. However, what does it say about your top guys not being able to kick out of big moves, but someone the size of Marco can? Unfortunately, his size might be hurting the others around him that are supposed to be big mainstream stars. By no means am I saying Marco shouldn't be a star, but maybe in a different division if AEW decides to go that route. Here's my thoughts on Marco Stunt. And granted, I had a feud with Marco Stunt last year. Just like anything else in pro wrestling, if it works, it works. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And last night, when Marco Stunt came out with Jungle Boy, you could tell by listening to the crowd that there were people that were disappointed. There were chants for Luchasaurus, and when Marco Stunt opened up and started flossing, there were people that booed him. If the crowd was dead, and if the crowd rejected the match, and if the crowd rejected Marco Stunt, then fine. If you want to say it was a mistake, it was a mistake. That is not what happened. They were disappointed when the match started. They booed him when he flossed. And then him and Jungle Boy went in with the Lucha Brothers. And quite frankly, they tore the house down. And when the match was over, everybody had gone crazy for the match. They were into all of the near falls. They were into everything. And so at the end of the day, last night was a success. If it comes to the point where Marco Stunt goes out there and the fans start to treat him like the librarian is clearly something that's not working. The Peter Avalon librarian gimmick, I think the Peter Avalon is a good worker, but it's clearly not working, okay? If that happens to Marco Stunt, then you need to reevaluate what you do with Marco Stunt. But so far, I have seen the librarian go out there and not get over. I've seen the gimmick go out there and fall flat. That did not happen with Marco Stunt and Jungle Boy last night. Last night, it worked. If it doesn't work down the road, you reevaluate it. But to go in there and say, well, man, it really worked, but it shouldn't have. How can you go in there and say that? When it doesn't work, it stops working. Period. End of story. Last night, it worked. We can reevaluate down the road if something stops working. This person here says, I saw Chris Jericho and Kevin Smith's Jay and Silent Bob reboot last night. His cameo was as Hulk Hogan was completely hilarious. I hope when he eventually retires, he does some acting. And he also adds, I hate Stunt, especially after what he did last year with his family to you. That's another matter entirely. It's another matter entirely. All right, Jaime, you're going to get a chance here. You're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, Brian? Hopefully the line's better now.
What's up?
Yeah, I wanted to say what I wanted to tell you guys last time was I'm a really fan of the team of Hangman Page and Dustin. I wish that they would keep that more as a permanent team. And then maybe down the line, like Dustin could turn on him like Mr. Wrestling 2 and Magnum TA to get a Hangman Page over.
Yeah, you could do that.
And then another thing I want to say, like, it's kind of funny and curious, with the Riho match, it's funny how I wasn't bored for 1 second with that match. Like, I just couldn't get my eyes off of it.
Yes, I want to thank you very much for the call. The Riho match, I mean, there was a lot of great stuff on AEW last night, and I don't know. I don't think I actually mentioned this last night on Observer Radio, but I want to address something here, which is a potential issue for AEW as we move forward. It may or may not be. But when I watched the show last night, you know, Britt Baker is very green, and they want her to be a star, but she's been in the business probably 4 years, and I don't know how many matches she's had, but probably less than 100. And Darby Allin has only been in the ring for a few years. There were people last night very critical of certain aspects, like his punches. The reality is, AEW has a younger roster. That's one of their things. They don't want to go out there and have just people in their 30s and 40s, which is a hallmark of Raw and SmackDown. They want to have a younger roster. MJF is 22 years old, I believe. Marco Stunt's 22 years old. They may be 23. I mean, it's just a younger roster, up and down. And the benefit of that, the upside, is that you've got a lot of young stars that you can turn into big-time stars. I mean, if you look back at the history of wrestling, I mean, there's so many people that they first became superstars in their early 20s and they became legends. Now, the downside to that is that because they have a younger, greener roster, the match quality is not going to be to the level of NXT or the WWE main roster in those cases. Britt Baker is not going to be able to have as good a match as one of the longer-term wrestlers on NXT and Raw. Especially, you know, she's better than the Iconics, but I mean, as far as like going out there and having a match to the level of a Bianca Belair, an Io Shirai, a Kairi Sane, an Asuka, you know, it's just not going to happen. Now, when you're green, I mean, there have been a million people in wrestling history that a company has got behind them, quote, before they were ready. And they still managed to become big stars. But they were able to do that because a Brock Lesnar, for example, got called up too early. But he got called up and then he was on the road 4 days a week working with great workers, main event stars, Rocks and Kurt Angles and guys like that. And he came up to speed fast. If AEW is not running house shows and their talent is largely exclusive to AEW and a Britt Baker is working one day a week at best, 4 dates a month, it's going to take forever for her to get better. Same with a Darby Allin and a Marco Stunt and any of these younger guys. The benefit of WWE's 4-day road schedule, people complain about house shows and, oh my God, they work so many dates, blah, blah, blah. That's one of the reasons people can get so good working for WWE is to work so many dates. The top indie stars, like the guys that became great on the indies, I mean, these are people that are working Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every single week. So AEW, to me, because they have a younger roster, they've got to get these people out working more than just once a week so that they can get up to speed with everybody else. You know how many matches Chris Jericho's had in his career? You know how many matches a Chris Daniels and all of the top stars, the Kenny Omegas and the Pacs, you know how many matches these people had to become as great as they are? It's a lot more than breaking into the business, having 100 matches, and then getting signed somewhere where they're going to work 1 day a week. They've got to work more. So it's early. You can't complain about this too much yet because I don't know what their plans are for touring and house shows and that sort of thing. But hopefully these younger wrestlers get a chance to work more than 1 day a week because it's going to be tough to improve if you're not working more than 1 day a week. This person here says, something I've noticed on NXT is they do not put their stars on TV every week. Gargano has only wrestled once on TV, and I'm used to seeing Rollins and Reigns every single show. Well, Gargano's not working because he's been injured. That's why he's had limited shots on television. But if you look at the way that AEW is doing their TV, their stars aren't on the show every week either. The Young Bucks, they did an AEW Dark show this week. Next week, they'll be on TV. A lot of times, they have somebody work on TV 1 week, a big star, and then work on AEW Dark the next week. Yes, Britt Baker worked this week, and she's working next week. But she's working next week because it's her hometown. They figure she's going to get a giant reaction. But I don't think you're going to see a Britt Baker on TV every single week. I don't think you're going to see the Young Bucks having matches on TV every single week. They're going to try to sort of cycle people in and out, and there's slots available on the Dark show as well. This person here says, you've mentioned before how good Bischoff was as a character on Nitro. Do you think Bischoff could be a good character? No, AEW doesn't need Bischoff. Bringing in Eric Bischoff reminds fans of WCW and Impact TNT when they were at the bottom of the barrel. You don't need that on AEW. You don't need Eric Bischoff. And yeah, Eric Bischoff was a great character in the 90s. It's 2019. He wasn't even that great. He was a great character in his early run in WWE as well. But that was like, what, 2003, 2004, 2005? It's 2019. You don't need Eric Bischoff on television. Back in a moment, Observer Live. Back on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Couple of final text messages here. This person says, did people enjoy the women's match? It came off very amateur to me, especially the beginning of the match. Did you watch the match? That match tore the house down at the end. Yes, it was not a technical classic, but the match tore the house down. That's the second time that Riho has been in there with a green worker, and against all odds, has the place going crazy at the end. And she's not even like the best women's wrestler in the world. She has something. If you look at the numbers for AEW, she moves the numbers. She's huge with teenage girls. She moves the numbers for AEW. And when she goes out there in front of a live crowd, they go crazy for her match by the end. So yes, I know you can think of 1,000 reasons why Riho shouldn't work, but she works. And so go with it. That's what pro wrestling is all about. This person here says, I know what you're saying about the experience level between AEW and NXT, but even with the new people, there still hasn't been a bad match. They need more experience, but working with other experienced people is helping them more, kind of like the Young Lions. You're right, but you still need more in-ring time. Like, yes, it's probably, Darby Allin probably learned more in that match with Chris Jericho than he learned in all of his years training put together. Because I remember I had a match with Buddy Wayne, and when I was done with that match with Buddy Wayne, I felt like I learned more in that match than I'd ever learned in all my previous years put together. But you have to keep working, 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 getting that ring time. We're out of time, everybody. I want to thank y'all for listening here today. Apologize for the issues early in the show. Mike and Jim Valley are going to be handling the show tomorrow. I'll be back tonight with Vinny talking AEW and NXT in great detail for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Sign up today. You won't regret it. And we're out of time. Thanks for listening. Wrestling Observer Live.